Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miriam with me, Gabriel Shadar. And it's welcome back for me. I've been away for quite a long time, a couple of weeks. And of course, today we will be focusing on the ongoing peace talks in that are taking place in Nairobi between the government and the holdout groups that are engaging the government. We all know that the revitalized peace agreement that was signed and revitalized in 2020, some other parties opted out of it, and they refused to join those terms in the agreement. And some were saying there are other issues that are missing in the agreement, and the fundamental or the root cause of the problems in the country have not been resolved, while the other parties to the agreement say or said this agreement has, that is the revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan, has resolved all the problems of South Sudan, and there is no need for others to opt out and keep out and hold out of the peace deal. Now, after quite more than 3 or 4 years of engaging, first in Rome and in other places, we will be seeing what are the expectations from these talks, and what would we like these talks to resolve and also to agree on. We have connected to our guest that is online, Dr. Luca Byung. Luca Byung Deng is a professor at the University of Juba, that is the Peace and Security Studies at the University of Juba. He's also a member of the Sud Institute, that is the think tank based in Juba. Dr. Luca Byung, welcome on Radio Miraya once again, and I hope you are getting me loud and clear.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Gabriel. Yes, I'm getting you better.
Yes. Yes. And before you join me, I introduce that the peace talks taking place in Nairobi these days are involving the government of the country, the government of South Sudan, which is a big government, revitalized government, and the holdout groups that are have been opting out of the revitalized agreement. Now, Dr. Luca, what could be the significance of these talks for the parties that are involved in Nairobi at the moment?
I think that, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I think the initiative of our president to designate the Kenyan to mediate this peace talk between the signatories to the revitalized peace agreement and the whole out group is a positive move, in a sense that looking for solutions from within the region. The significance is that definitely for us to have a comprehensive peace in our country, it is absolutely very important for all the parties to be engaged. The whole out group, they are very important for sustaining peace, and in particular as we are heading towards election. And secondly, I think also having Kenya with the support of the international community, the high attendance that has been shown during the opening is suggesting how the international community, with the support of Kenya, their willingness to support the people of South Sudan. And one is so impressed by the body language that has been shown by the parties, especially our president with some of the key leaders of the SPLM. So I think it's quite a significant.
What is the significance for the citizens of South Sudan?
Yeah, as you know, people of South Sudan have been aspiring for a peaceful country so that they can do their normal livelihood in a good, conducive environment. And definitely, when you talk about peace and others are not in the process, I think bringing back all the people to the peace, to the path of the peace, I think it's quite important. It will send a very powerful signal to the citizen of South Sudan. But as you know, it's not the lack of peace agreement that we are facing in this country. I think the willingness to implement, I think it is very challenging. Even though you may be having more peace agreement, we hope this one will augment and strengthen the peace agreement and to be implemented so that you can meet the needs and the demand of our people.
Dr. Luca, there might be, this is just a follow-up question, like if the actually peace agreement that has been signed by five different groups is said to be staggering, there are difficulties of implementing it, there are challenges that were unforeseen and unexpected, and there were challenges that were known by people, and they knew that, and also observers knew that this peace agreement is very complicated. It would be very difficult, a grisly task to implement it to the letter and the spirit. And now we are having this other negotiation. And so how can it add up? How can it add up so that we have an ideal situation that will lead us to elections?
Yeah, I know that very challenging environment, especially given the fact that most of the peace agreement provisions have not been implemented. And given the fact also the desire of our people that they want to have elections and to put an end to this an endless and protracted extension of the peace agreement. And that's true why it is significant. I think one of the things definitely that coming, they are not going to start. My own thinking, I think there are very good foundation, good provision within the revitalized peace agreement. And one of the areas I feel are quite critical, especially in the area of security arrangement, and in the area of the economy, especially the oil sector, and even in the area of judicial and legal system. I think these are very important areas, and I believe these people, they may bring in an added value to expedite the implementation of the peace agreement. But as you rightly put it, this is an opportunity for the elites of South Sudan to show a commitment to make a difference. And I think it is, in fact, some of us, we strongly believe that moving with elections is extremely important, but we know the challenges facing elections because this is the desire of the people of South Sudan. And this will be able to reduce the huge burden of huge government on the people. Definitely the agreement itself, if there's any agreement going to come out from Nairobi, it will have some implications whether the people will commit themselves the same timeline of having elections, or should it give allow the time for the extension. But definitely any desire for any people sitting together to talk about peace, it gives hope to the citizens.
Listeners, Radio Bernard, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and I'm talking to Professor Luca Byung-Deng, always member of the University of Juba, of course. He's teaching at the University of Juba in the Peace and Security Studies, and also he's member of the Sud Institute, and also he's also a former minister in the government of South Sudan many years back, and also one of the leaders of the SPLM, but now he's a full-time academic. And, of course, Dr. Luca, you just mentioned that the implications for the peace agreement. But let's look at the mediator and the convener. And you said earlier that it is the President of the Republic who asked the Kenyan or the government to mediate after the Rome talks is told somewhere and at some point. Now, what is what kind of leverage can the mediator have on the parties so that they can reach a deal? And we had the experience of the CPA, in which you were part also in the years from 2002 and up to 2005.
Yeah, Gabriel, I think the good thing about Kenya has a very wealth of experience in the mediation. And as you mentioned, the Comprehensive Peace Agreement is one of the very detailed and very, very, very progressive agreement. And it took, actually, the parties were clearly having incompatible ideology, how they look at Sudan. The Sudan based on secularism or Sudan based on Islam. But I think and that's why the experience of Kenya is really very important. It provides them the knowledge and how they can do it differently. The second one is the mediator. Somebody like General Lazaro Simbuewa, he is somebody who is so knowledgeable about South Sudan. In fact, when he assumed his mediation role in the CPA, he decided to visit all the areas of Sudan or the areas affected by conflict, to have a sense. So he's a man having a lot of knowledge, and he's really trusted, and he's somebody who can be really very, very a good mediator. The third one is that Kenya is being seen in the region now as the most stable, and also having a democratic system. So it's well situated, because the thing we'll be talking about, peace agreement, about the good governance and how you move the debate to the people themselves. And the last one, you know very well that Kenya is hosting a large number of our refugees. Not only that, most of our kids are actually in Kenya, studying there. So that in itself is a leverage, in a sense that we know that in this region, Kenya is very strategic. And then last is President Ruto. He's somebody very agile, energetic, and very committed to the issues of good governance. And I think he's seeing South Sudan as an opportunity to extend and to lay the basis and foundation for a transition that can make South Sudan a democratic country that can enjoy the peace and stability.
Yes, Dr. Luka Byung, as you give this reflection about the role of Kenya, and we are as a mediator, let's look back at who is talking now, who is talking with who, and you can agree with me, these are the same people. These are the same people who led the liberation. These are the same people who have been comrades. These are the same people who shared bread and water. And a long history. And, of course, one might wonder how the same comrades, after independence, they engage in this. We have like more similar stories in the post-liberation movements in Africa, who are landed in personal differences, not too much ideologies and all these kind of things. And when we say these are the same people talking, should it make it very difficult to agree, or what do you think? When the leaders of this country, they lead, look at themselves and see that, why should they be in this condition?
Yeah, this is a very heavy loaded and very interesting question. But let me put in this perspective. I think liberation movement, usually, they tend to face challenge of how to govern. And it is not only in South Sudan, because the transition is so difficult. Having a liberation movement which is focusing on fighting war and having the ideology as well. So when they come and govern, they face a lot of difficulties. So the transition from a liberation movement to a political party is a very bumpy process. It is not easy. And usually, liberation movements, when they govern, they tend to be very popular from the early stage. And then usually take them some decades, and then you will see the process of democratization within this liberation movement, and it's splitting, the division started coming out. Sometimes it is healthy, because such a division is good, because there could be different views of how people would like to govern. And I think we have seen it all over Africa, the transition of liberation movement from a liberation movement to a political party and to for them to govern. So it's not unique to South Sudan. What is unique in South Sudan, the period within which the SPLM started dividing itself was shorter than the normal process. And I know, and you know, one of the good things, at least you could take it also as an advantage, and you rightly put it, these people, they have unbelievable histories of the struggle. And when they sit down, just if they reflect about the journey during their struggle, you will see they have one thing in common. These are comrades. And I believe this is the thing, if the nature on that, and going back to the struggle they fought together, I think that could is an opportunity that eventually they will come together, because these are the people who they know themselves. They have unbelievable heroic incidents that they work together as comrades. So I see it as an opportunity. A division is not bad in any political party, but a division should be peaceful. It should be enhanced how you respect other views, and that can nurture even the diversity of views and even the democratization in the country.
Listeners, Radio Miraya, this is a nationwide discussion hour, and this is me, Gary Shadar, and I'm talking to Dr. Luca Byung from the University of Juba, Peace and Security Studies, and also member of the Sud Institute, a think tank based in Juba, South Sudan. And we are talking about his perspectives and also views on the ongoing peace talks that are involving the government of South Sudan, the revitalized government of South Sudan, and also the holdout groups that are not signatories to the revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. Now the parties have reportedly entering their second day of closed door negotiations with the presentation of positions and shuttle diplomacy between the mediators between the parties. And of course, up to now, we as observers and also the public in at large, we are being served with generalities that they have presented these positions on issues like governance, economics, economy, and security, and all these, but no details being given. Is there an advantage in not showing the positions while they are talking? Is there an advantage, and so that the mediator or the parties themselves can reach some points of agreement, and that the public might not even be involved in the debate?
Yeah, Gabriel, you know, you are dealing with this mediation by somebody like General Sebwewa. He's a very skilled mediator, and he is having a lot of experience. One of the things in any mediation or any peace talk is we don't want to have the peace talk to be for public debate, like what is happening in social media. Because the moment you get it, doing a lot of disservices and can distract the smooth discussion within the year. So I think it is normal for any mediation to make sure, in fact, that even supposed to have signed an understanding of how to manage the information. And I think this is something I believe they could have agreed upon, that you have to keep the discussion to yourself and not for the public consumption. Because the moment you do it public and you make a statement, you shift the mediation to the public domain. But you need a trusted platform whereby people can, it will take some time for them to build a relationship. It will take some time to understand each other. And the moment, it will take some time for even for them to start the serious negotiation. So I think it is a healthy that they should keep this early discussion to be quite close, unless there is a very, the way the way you want to pass information. Definitely the public would like to have information, but that information should be filtered and to be organized so that the party can be able to convey a message that can provide hope, but not to distract the discussion.
How much can... do you think that there is a possibility that they can agree without twisting of hands, without regional bodies coming here and there, or this is part of the mediation itself?
I think that the way Kenya, and I presume the way they have done it, if you look at the observers are basically the friends of South Sudan, but the regional and international institutions, and you could see clearly the commitment of all these observers. And by doing so, and in fact, this is the experience of the CPA. It started first like Kenya initiating it, and then later on, the IGAD came in. So you have this incremental approach. Eventually, whatever agreement they are going to reach, it should get into the African Union, and then the IGAD definitely is going to play a big role to support the Kenyan-led mediation. I think Kenya is doing it, and I like the way our president decided to bring it to home, to the region, because you need to anchor any agreement to the regional institutions, because these are the people eventually that are going to be the one actually overseeing the implementation and even linking it to the Security Council. So actually it's very important that having Kenya, but in fact it's going to be linked to these regional institutions and the African Union and the United Nations as well.
I have just one or two questions before I let you go. Dr. Luka, one party is missing in this, and this is the group of General Thomas Tshirilo, and he has one faction that broke away from him. Is there what is your reading into this situation at the moment, and what could happen or what should happen in this case for the mediators and even for the general political spectrum in the country at the moment?
I think definitely Thomas Tshirilo is a very important, definitely for any peace in South Sudan, and he's not only one of the people who contributed during the liberation, and he's quite important. And I know for the mediation, they will definitely continue to engage him. It is not only the mediators, even the friends of Thomas Tshirilo should be able to help and encourage him to join this opportunity. And I think that's a call, it should be a national call, why it is important for him to be a part of this process. I know there are some difficulties, but the fact people manage to sit down, I think we could be part of this path for the stability. And for you to sing the song of peace, it is very important. For everything that South Sudan is here, they are yearning for the peace. And I think this is an opportunity for every leader to be really part of the process. You discuss all your issues on the table, but you can, for me, I see this is a process to move for everybody to be in this process. And I am hopeful, definitely, you know, Thomas Tshirilo will definitely eventually be able to join.
Now, we have a peace agreement that is being implemented. This is this was our starting point. And, of course, now the peace agreement is based on power sharing. This is real reality and the practical side of it. People are sharing power, people are sharing responsibilities. So how do you see the impact of any deal that might be reached in Nairobi from these talks?
Me, I feel, you know, the revitalized peace agreement, I think, definitely will provide a foundation, the basis. And I think they are not going to start from nowhere. And if they look critical to the revitalized peace agreement, yes, indeed, there are some areas for improvement. I think what is missing in this peace agreement is only the implementation, a commitment for the parties to implement. And if I were them, it really would be good. I mean, definitely that the talks in Nairobi will affect the current peace agreement, the revitalized peace agreement. It definitely has to be amended in one way or another. That's why I was talking about this issue, whether they are going to have any extension or should they be able to commit themselves to the election as provided in the roadmap. But that because I wish if they could be able, and the mediators, to be able to move away from these elite power sharing and to look at the bigger issues facing the country. And I think those bigger issues are more important than the issue of power sharing, because, and that's the weaknesses most of the peace agreement, in a sense that you focus on the issues of power sharing. And you could see now in this peace agreement, it is only the power sharing agreement being implemented, largely, most of the provision. But other provisions, which are actually quite fundamental, if you talk about the issue of the security sector, if you talk about the economic sector, especially the oil sector, if you talk about the legal system, the judiciary and legal system, these are core issues. These are very important issues. But definitely the issue of humanitarian and the transitional justice. I feel these are the very fundamental things if they could focus on issues. And I think those issues are the root causes. If you don't handle them, then you have this cycle of violence coming. And eventually, even if there's any change in those ones, I think if I were them, what could they be done differently to implement the peace agreement? How could they be able to ensure these critical issues around security, around economy, around the judiciary or the legal system could be able to improve? And how can you address the issue of the wounds of the past, the transitional justice? So I see these are the very, very important issues. Definitely the issue of constitution becoming very important. Maybe this is an area people could talk about the key elements of the permanent constitution that are very important to be resolved and to be enshrined later on in the permanent constitution. I feel if the focus on issues around that power sharing, I think that may move. And I know the mediator will be focusing, will try to focus on those ones. But it should be the government and the whole out group to advance this agenda of issues discussion rather than power sharing.
So you believe any impact on the implementation of the peace agreement, any amendment, adjustments here and there, in the long run, is beneficial for the country than a quick fix?
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. Mm. There's no way. First, the option of war is not an option. Definitely. And nobody will enjoy that you can achieve something with war. The option of peace is the only option, it's the only viable option. But it should be a peace that will be sustainable, a good peace. And the option for us to sit together, our council and Sudanese, to dialogue genuinely, is the only way we can heal the wound and we can put a new social contract that can let us move together as one nation.
Dr. Rugab Jung, really, thanks for your time. And with that, I have come to the end of today's Nationwide Discussion Hour. And I had Dr. Loka Byung-Ding online, and he gave the insightful comments on the prospects of the peace talks between the government of South Sudan and the holdout groups. And the talks are continuing, and we will keep updating you. Thank you very much for listening. And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar, on Nationwide on Radio Mariah.